Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. I'm excited for this conversation. We have the founder of the Shred Method, Adam Carroll, on the show. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Nick. It's great to be with you. I'm super excited about the show today and just to see where conversation takes us.
No kidding. My gosh, just talking before the show, my goodness, this is going to be an absolute fire episode. You're somebody that has done so many different speaking engagements. You're an author. You've done a ton of TED Talks, and these engagements have picked up quite a bit of views, like millions of views. So anyways, I could speak so highly of you for most of this show, but I won't embarrass you from that perspective. But I do want to give the audience some context around just your talent and commitment to your craft, not only as an entrepreneur, but your industry. And it really shows in the business that you built. Can you share a little bit about the Shred Method? What is it? And how did you start it? Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question, Nick. The Shred Method is really comprised of three things. It's education, it's coaching, and it's a software program. But what we do at the Shred Method is we help people blast away debt, build equity, and create real wealth in record time. It all sounds kind of like a magic pill, but I assure you it's not magic, it's math. And it's math that most people just don't learn in school. So we're teaching them how to leverage their most powerful resource, which is their income, but do it in the most efficient, effective way possible. And for most of your listeners, probably, and the majority of consumers out there, our income just isn't that efficient. You know, we make money, but we don't utilize it in the best way possible. And that's really what we do at the Shred Method.
What do you mean by that? It's not used efficiently.
Yeah. There's a metaphor that I use to describe this that I think people get, because we tend to think in images and metaphors, right? So if you were to leave the house in the morning to go to the grocery store, and you knew that you had to go to the post office later in the afternoon, but you finished grocery shopping, went home, would you leave your car idling in the driveway all day knowing that you were going to go to the post office at 3 or 4 in the afternoon?
I wouldn't, because my neighbors would text me and I don't want to hear that I left my car running from my neighbors. That's why I wouldn't leave it running.
Yeah. And they would say, you're ruining the environment, or it's a waste of gas, or hard on your engine, or whatever, right? It's largely just inefficient. People don't do it because it's inefficient. So if I said to your listeners, hey, your car is running in your driveway right now, they'd go back, they'd go look and check. And if it was, they'd turn it off because it's inefficient. And what most people do with their paycheck is they let their paycheck idle in their quote unquote driveway or parking lot, which is their checking account. So for the majority of folks out there, some amount of money is sitting in checking or savings for days or weeks or months on end, right? I mean, would you say that on a regular basis, there would be surplus funds sitting either in checking or savings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And we do it because it feels good. Money sitting in that account, we look at it, we go, well, I feel better when I have a couple thousand or 10,000 or whatever someone's number is, 200 for some people, whatever the number in checking or savings that feels good. We look at it and we're like, I'm good because I have that money there. All the while, they're paying amortized interest on large debts like their mortgage, their commercial loans, their SBA loan that they started a business with, et cetera, et cetera. And so what we do at the Shred Method is we, first of all, teach people that lazy, idle money, money that's just sitting around in accounts, can often be dangerous money. Because if you had extra money in checking or savings, or let's say your spouse does, maybe you're not a shopper, but she might be, what happens with extra, quote unquote, extra money?
I think it turns into bags and shoes.
Yeah. Bags, shoes. You know, my
maybe
wife
a dress.
That, you bet.
No, I'm kidding. In our house, it all turns into the children.
Kid stuff. Yeah.
Kid stuff.
Yep.
My wife is not much of a shopper. I have to convince her to shop. And I may even hire somebody to shop for her. That's my dynamic. But she has no problem taking care of the kiddos. So that's where our money's going.
Yeah. And candidly, this is kind of a sidebar comment on that, but the USDA does this report every year and they tell you how much it will cost to raise a child from zero to 18. And the number they've come up with is like north of $280,000, right? So your pack of four kids, you guys will be blowing $1.2 million according to the USDA to raise them from zero to 18.
Well, does that include college?
That does not include college.
And does that include weddings?
That's a great question. I don't know about that.
Does that include the ongoing entertainment to keep them in your life?
Probably not.
I'm kidding, but not kidding.
Yeah. All of those are extra expenses, right? So
absolutely.
The way that we look at people's finances, if they're a Shred client, is number one, we're going to say there is a difference between available funds and accessible funds. So society, the Dave Ramseys and Susie Ormans of the world have taught us that we all need 6 to 12 months worth of living expenses in the bank. And for a long time, I believed that to be true. And then I realized there's a slight distinction between available money and accessible money. So the available money might be money that you could go to the bank and you could pull out and you could count and you could swim around in it on your bed or whatever you want to do with it, right? That's available funds. Accessible money might be money that you know, if you got in a pinch, you could access that money, but it doesn't necessarily have to be there all the time waiting for you, particularly in times where the amount of interest that it's making is very negligible, right? I mean, we went through 5 years almost where people were making 0.1% or 25 basis points on their money. Today, yield savings accounts could get you 4, 4.5%. That's a decent return, decent enough. But there may be a more efficient, effective way to use that money or a place to put that money that would actually save you tens and potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest while still keeping that money accessible.
That really becomes a great opportunity as an entrepreneur, right? That's the reward of being an entrepreneur, accumulating cash.
Yes. I couldn't agree with you more, Nick. I think the deal that most entrepreneurs, when we start a business, and I'm going to borrow something from a book called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, but he used to say that most small business owners are not entrepreneurs. Most of them are technicians who suffer from an entrepreneurial seizure, right? It's like people go, I'm a good painter. I'm going to open my own painting business. So it's this entrepreneurial seizure they have where they go do it, but they make one fatal assumption, which is because I know how to do the technical work, I in turn know how to run a business that does the technical work. And I think this is the power of franchising, because the franchises build all the systems for you. So they teach you how to do the technical work, or how to run a business that does the technical work. We strive to build a business that helps support our life or our lifestyle. And in my mind, and from my perspective for our clients, our goal is to build wealth outside of the business as well as inside of the business. So if we can build a really valuable practice, all the while we're building wealth outside of the business, building wealth outside the business means you don't necessarily have to sell the business to retire. It's gravy on gravy when you do, but we should be building wealth outside at the same time.
Yeah, there's so much inefficiencies with the cash along the way while you own the business, the asset. Yeah, the ultimate goal is to grow that asset and exit and have a liquidity event there as well. But along the way, how are you being efficient with your cash? My gosh, I would assume that in most situations that cash is just idling there.
Yeah. For most people, it does. And typically what happens is they'll say, well, I didn't know what to do with it. I wasn't sure. It felt safe and secure where it was sitting, which is great. I mean, we all want that safety and security. In fact, one of the first questions we ask is, how much money do you need in savings to feel safe and secure at any given point in time? Mm-hmm. And I would encourage entrepreneurs listening, have that conversation with your spouse, because your number and their number is probably radically different. Mm-hmm. So when we know what that number is, and we can kind of begin to figure out how much of that needs to be available and how much of it needs to be accessible, that's when we really start to hone in on how can the Shred Method help someone blast away their debt, minimize their expenses, and increase their free cash flow.
What are some practical examples of where to place money so that it may not be on hand, cash on hand, but it's pretty easily accessible?
The two simplest answers to that question, if you're a business owner, it's a BLOC, a business line of credit. And if you are an individual and you own a home, it would be a home equity line of credit. So the HELOC for most people, when they think of a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, they think of that tool that the bank is going to sell you when you want to go buy a four-wheeler or an RV or put a new roof on the house or a three-season porch on the back. And the challenge with that is that when we use that tool the way the bank intends us to use it, what it does is we borrow a big chunk of money and then it just creates another monthly payment for us that we pay month after month after month. And the way we use those tools, either the BLOC or the HELOC, and you could include in that category the PLOC, a personal line of credit, which is basically like a signature loan or a signature line of credit. The way we use those is we use them effectively like a checking account. So your money will get deposited in the home equity line or the business line. And our software tool that powers the Shred Method will say, based on how much is coming in and how much is going out, it looks like you have this extra amount left over. So let's apply that in the most efficient way possible. And we start blasting away the debts that we're carrying as a business or as an individual. So we start with high interest credit card debts. We're going to knock those out right away. We go to car loans because we want to free up the $400 or $500 or $700 a month that people are paying on their cars or trucks or what have you. And then we go after either commercial loans, SBA loans, or the mortgage. And when we start going after that, what happens is you're already feeling pretty abundant because your cash flow has increased on a monthly basis. And then you're starting to see your debts be paid down really substantially over time. And now it's like, wow, I have all this equity. I've got all this discretionary income. And now I can make some really profound choices for my business, which could mean like capital investment, could mean marketing, could be hiring an extra person. Those kinds of things are really what take the business to the next level.
So you're saying a great place to put that is reinvesting it in the business. Ultimately, prioritize debts and then create ROI is the asset that you're growing and dictating the ROI of. That's a great place to put that excess cash beyond what you need to break even on everything else, including paying down debts.
That's exactly right. And I think in doing so, what we're ultimately doing is the main distinction that I help people make in entrepreneurship is there is a difference between taking a calculated risk and being risky. And so someone that is levered up, you've got an SBA loan, you've got two vehicles you're paying on, you've got a property that you're paying a lease payment on or a rent payment on every month, you've got to pay salaries for people. And someone says, hey, you need to grow. So why don't you go get another loan and another truck? Now you've got more payments. Some of that could be perceived as risky, whereas what we're trying to do with folks is show them how to take a calculated risk, which looks like that extra money that's coming in, let's deleverage a bit, free up your monthly income, because then when you go take a risk, it's calculated. It's not just risky. And again, I go back to Michael Gerber in his book, The E-Myth Revisited, but he talked about the number one killer of businesses is the fact that they're undercapitalized. So you get to a point where you have a big cash crunch, or debts go up or your income goes down. And then they're like, well, shoot, I'm underwater on all these things. I'm going to not make payments, which then kills your credit score and all of that. So our goal really is to help people de-risk or mitigate the risk of the business by beginning to deleverage some of the debts that they're carrying.
Do you think that there are good debts and bad debts?
100%. And I maintain that if you have debt that is making you money, if you have debt on a truck and the truck is what you use to go out and provide your service every day, that's probably a good debt. Debt could be good for the business, right? That being said, there may be a way to transition that debt in our system where the payment becomes much, much less. It frees up the monthly cash flow, which again will sort of de-risk the situation for you. The short answer is yes, I think there is good debt. I'm not like an absolutist about no, pay everything off to zero, because I think for most people, it can take a really long time to do that. In our system, the average person could be completely out of debt, including their mortgage, in 3 to 7 years, which again seems like magic to some people, but it's purely math. And the way we prove that out, Nick, is we'll tell folks, hey, look at your last mortgage statement, commercial loan statement, SBA statement, and see of your payment, how much was going to principal and how much was going to interest. And you'll know in the first 1 to 5 years, the majority of your payment is interest. It's just how amortization schedules work. What we do is we accelerate the amortization table by blasting that debt away much, much faster. And in the end, we help people save, again, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest that you would normally spend.
And that's so simple to do, right? It just takes that disciplined approach. So number one, know where to look, but then the disciplined mentality to commit to being more efficient from that standpoint, right?
And that's exactly right.
Clearly, this is powerful information. And I told you at the beginning of the show, we're going to have some good content. And I think you're seeing why. But I want to hear a little bit more from you around why is it so important for you to share this message with the people?
Well, going back in the Wayback Machine just a bit, Nick, I was a mortgage broker for a number of years. And I can't tell you how many refinances I did of people that would come in and say, well, I racked up some credit card debt and I really want to consolidate. Can we do a consolidation cash out refinance on my mortgage? And I would do them. I would try and counsel and coach people on what to do to blast away the debt or not spend as much, create extra cash flow every month, and make sure that our number one cardinal rule is you have to have more money at the end of the month. You can't have more month at the end of your money. That just doesn't work, right? So if we're really diligent about always having more money left over at the end of our month, financial freedom should come relatively easily. For most people, for whatever reason, it becomes a challenge to do. So the reason this is so important for me is I would encounter person after person that would just refinance, and they do it every year or 2 years. And it just reset the clock back to zero for them. So they'd go right back to paying the most amount of interest they possibly could, the least amount of principal they could. And some of them would come back 3 or 4 years later selling their home, and they're getting a loan on the next property. They would be expecting a really big check at the closing table because they're selling their home and they've been paying their mortgage for 4 years, right? And then they get to the closing table and they're like, oh, I got $1,000 or a couple $1,000. It wasn't nearly what I thought it was going to be. And so from my perspective, the reason this is so important is we show people and educate people how to do the Shred Method, not so that they're debt-free, but so that they can write a check for their kids' braces when the time comes. They can pay for college tuition when the time comes, because most people are sweating that, right? How am I going to pay for braces? How am I going to pay for vacations? How am I going to pay for college? What will retirement look like? How will I ever afford healthcare in the future? And what we're doing with the Shred Method is saying, listen, if you do for 2 years what most people won't do, you can do for the rest of your life what most people can't do, which is stroke a check for braces, stroke a check for a new car, take a 30-day vacation with your family and not sweat the bills afterwards. That's why we do what we do, so that people can actually live the life they really want. And the slightest distinction we make is that we're going to pull money back from what you're sending to your banker and instead put it in your pocket. And in doing that, it literally changes people's financial futures forever.
So life-changing, right? And it's a matter of being disciplined once you have the knowledge. Why do you think most people find themselves on the other side of the fence, right? Being so inefficient.
I could probably point to a number of reasons. The top two or three that come to mind, one is they probably have horrible programming from the time they were young. a good friend of mine, her financial script that she runs in her mind all the time is, well, we'll never have a lot of money, so we might as well spend it now. And if you follow that logic, right, it's very circular. We'll never have a lot of money, so we might as well spend it now, because we'll never have a lot of money, so we might as well spend it now. And anytime it's like, I just want to have some savings. Well, you can't, because your script that you've been running from the time you were a kid necessitates that you have no money for the script to be true, right? So I think number one is people's scripting has to change. And this goes into money psychology and some of the coaching that we do with clients. But when we can fix someone's relationship to money and the way they handle and they look at money, all manner of things change for them. The second reason I think it's hard is we get in a rut. Now, I would call them habits, but a habit is basically just a rut that we get in for a very long time. And the habit might be, or the rut that we're in is, we just don't really pay attention to money because it's not fun and it's been caused problems in our past. And I just don't want to deal with it. So I just do what I do and I've always done. If you do what you've always done, then you'll get what you've always got, right? That's sort of the logic. And what we tell people is your life is perfectly engineered for the results you're currently getting. So that could mean your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your finances, your business, everything is perfectly engineered for the results you're currently getting. So right now, the business is perfectly engineered for the results the business is getting. Your finances, perfectly engineered for the results your finances are getting. And when we begin to re-engineer it, people see, oh, I've been sending 20 or 30 or 50 grand a year in interest payments to my banker while keeping 10 or 20 grand in savings. And if I begin to reorient my cash flow a little bit, I could eliminate 20 or 30 grand that's going to my banker and keep that for myself every year. And so the question I would ask you, Nick, is would 20 grand or 30 grand a year make a big difference to you and your family?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And particularly when kids are as young as yours are, I mean, that's college tuition, right? Put 20 grand away a year for 4 years and you'll have a kid covered through college by the time they're ready to go at 18 or 19. So that's the distinction that we're trying to make is let's look critically at how much we're paying in taxes or interest and then begin to reorient, re-engineer our system so that we get to keep that instead of sending it to our banker.
Where could I go to learn more of these strategies? You know, as we're talking, I'm thinking so much about the tactical side of, okay, well, if I'm going to reorientate the way that I look at how I pay principal and interest, or the way that I am intentional about my lifestyle, and I make those commitments to start spending less, be more frugal, and look at opportunities to invest or create smart debt. Those are all just nuances there around the approach, the system, right? Yeah. But from a tactical standpoint, I love the mortgage and perspective around principal and interest, but how can I keep learning more?
First and foremost, we are an education company. So I love this question because it really is about learning more and putting into practice what you learn. If anyone's interested in finding out more about this, theshredmethod.com is our website. And on the site, there's a 30-minute masterclass. You can watch it at about 1.5 times speed and you'll get through it in about 17 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. But that's a really powerful look at how the system works from a logistics standpoint. And then we've got a free calculator on the site as well, where you can go in, plug in your raw numbers, your income numbers, expenses, what your mortgage payment is, interest on your mortgage, and it will kick out how fast could you be out of debt and how much will you save over the long run or how much will you not spend in interest. But the powerful number that you'll see there, there's a PDF document you can print out and put on your refrigerator. For us, that has been a motivator, like to look at that number and say, we could save $260,000 in interest by just following this thing for 38 months or 42 months or whatever it might be. So if somebody's interested, theshredmethod.com is probably the best place to go first, Nick.
Fantastic. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, right? It's about education and a lifestyle and a commitment to being financially efficient and smart with your money, really. And as an entrepreneur, that is ultimately the reward of winning the scoreboard, right? All your data points, all your business planning, those KPIs, those leading indicators, they translate to the ultimate scoreboard, which is your P&L. And the most important number there is the bottom line, right? And that translates to cash flow. So as you grow and mature as an entrepreneur and begin building more and more cash flow and exceeding your expenses, building assets, hopefully multiple businesses, multiple cash flow streams there, this financial literacy lays the foundation to create an entrepreneurial empire. And that's why I think that this information is so critical to professionals in business, in franchising. And clearly you need to be a high performer to have this disciplined approach toward money.
Yeah, no question. You commented something that I want to touch on really quick. And that is that multiple streams of income from the business. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell your audience that what we've covered today, what we talk about in terms of the Shred Method, is really step one. And I like to call what we do, it's a 10-year freedom plan. And it's very similar from what you do, Nick, in terms of helping people who are into franchises and are growing their business. How do we perform at a really high level? High performance being the key word there for people. What we do over a 10-year period is show them step one is shred. That might take you from 0 to 36 months, let's call it. In the middle of there, somewhere around the 24th month to the maybe the 60th month, we're bulking. And when we bulk, we're literally stockpiling cash in accounts that allow us to really grow and invest. And in that maybe 48 month to 10 year, the 120 month window, we're heavily investing in things that create massive, passive, permanent streams of income. And our goal at the end of the day, at the end of certainly of a 10-year period, is to have more money coming in passive income than we have in expenses. And when we do that, and we do it at a grand scale, this isn't a ridiculous example, but if your expenses are $1,000 and we can create $10,000 a month in discretionary income passively that's coming in, life is grand. Go wherever you want, do whatever you want. Most people can live really comfortably on 10 grand a month. So that's what we're trying to help people do without changing their spending patterns all that much. We're just changing logistically how their money flows and then strategically, where do they put it to create that passive income stream, allowing them to then never work for anyone if that's their choice.
Yeah, I would liken financial literacy to oxygen for an entrepreneur.
That is such a great example. Such a great analogy.
We talked about exceeding expenses and reorientating disciplines for minimizing expenses. And that's a discipline. That's a choice. It's dollar for dollar a choice. Every dollar has a choice to be efficiently used. And that's through the lens of expenses and surpluses, being smart with money. But as an entrepreneur, it starts in those granular, just dollar for dollar decisions that are made. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that leads to excess, which creates working capital. And that's what allows you to reinvest in the business and scale the business further. Financial literacy is oxygen for an entrepreneur. You can't be a successful entrepreneur if you don't have good financial literacy, period.
Man. So well said. One other thing that I'll mention is, and you mentioned it, having liquidity or being able to grow with your business and being able to invest in the business. There is this idea that we share with folks that most people don't have an income problem. They have a liquidity problem. And what we mean by that is the bankers will underwrite what we can afford based on our income, right? Or our revenues in the business. And yet, if someone came to most business owners or certainly individuals, consumers in society, and said, hey, I've got this opportunity. It will return somewhere between 15 and 20%. Risk is largely mitigated. Very, very little risk in the deal at all. But you got to write a check for 50 grand or 100 grand. Most people would be like, well, where on earth am I going to come up with that kind of money, right? And when using the Shred Method, within somewhere between 12 and 18 months, 80 to 90% of our clients could come up with 50 grand if they needed to. And because what we're doing is reorientating where their money goes, creating equity, having access to the equity, and then going, when an opportunity comes around that is largely risk mitigated, why wouldn't we take advantage of it? And so again, for your listeners, if you find yourself from time to time seeing opportunities, but not having the liquidity to participate in it, this is the answer to that situation.
Wow. Yeah. And thank you for your commitment to this message, right? It's so critical for entrepreneurs and the success of entrepreneurs. I mean, the American dream is entrepreneurship. And the majority of our commerce is small businesses. I mean, my gosh, either you are an employee or you're an employer, right? I mean,
yeah,
professionally. And this message is so critical to success in the marketplace. It just bewilders me that money isn't spoken about more often. In fact, it's the opposite, right? It's not really spoken about. And you don't talk about how to save money and, hey, what are you doing with all your extra money? And, hey, how do you make extra money? It's really not spoken about enough in society. So thank you for demystifying this subject of money and creating practical solutions to reorientate and break these barriers that have been putting blinders on folks for so much of their life. And frankly, it's kind of like the frog that just boils over time, right? Yeah. They don't even know, but that's just the product of their environment. And as a result, you have all these folks in the marketplace that are bringing baggage. So important for us to be humble and servant-minded and have empathy, but have a heart toward educating others on the scoreboard and providing easy ways for them to change their life. So thank you for your incredible work and your commitment to this incredible space. It's so important for entrepreneurs to be successful. And it's so much of our culture, the American dream. And so it's such important work. And so thank you. And my hope is that more folks become comfortable thinking about and talking about money.
Boy, I appreciate that more than you know, Nick. This has been a lifelong pursuit for me, or certainly the last 25 years, where I've been trying to teach people financial literacy. And you made a comment that could be a t-shirt or maybe the title of this podcast or something. But the question we should all be asking each other is, what do you do with all your extra money? Right? I mean, I think it's a running joke of like, oh yeah, what extra money? But in reality, shouldn't that be our norm? Like, what do you do with the extra money to make sure it's as efficient as possible? That should be a normal question that we could ask each other, as opposed to the like super secretive, well, he's a really successful investor. I don't know what he does with it, but let's share that stuff. Because the more a rising tide raises all ships. So if we're all doing better, wouldn't we all do better? I don't know. Maybe I'm naive to think that. But I like the question, what are you going to do with all your extra money?
Yeah, knowledge is powerful. And the more money can be demystified, the less people will hide from it, not talk about it, right? Step into it, own it, be fully confident in it, and recognize that, hey, look, if making money is a skill, well, it doesn't mean I have to serve it. And ultimately, I can use it as a tool, right? So I make money as a skill. I don't serve it, and I use it as a tool. The more knowledge and confidence that folks can have in making money, they'll just realize those simple truths, which is that money is really a tool. And for some, though, it's not. And for some, they serve it, and such is life, right? But the more all of these things can be talked about, the less mysterious it is, and the more people can change their lives. So remind me, what is the website? Because I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to share it with folks that I know. It talked about, I believe it's theshredmethod.com, right?
Correct. Yep. Theshredmethod.com. And ideally it's either the savings calculator or watch the masterclass are your two main options. And then I would also offer, Nick, we have a team of coaches that they're happy to spend 20 minutes on the phone with folks going through your numbers in detail and telling you exactly what's possible. Like literally they can tell you the month and year you'll be out of debt completely if that's your goal.
What an incredible conversation. I can just keep talking with you all day. I could tell before this show, this was going to be a powerful message. Again, thank you so much for your commitment to the space. Definitely go onto the website, check it out. Adam, you've built an incredible business. Thank you so much. And as always, please subscribe to the channel. It's how we're able to continue growing. Like the video and contribute to the conversation here. Drop a comment down below. Adam Carroll, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.